Imagine giving up your car and vowing to travel only by bike, kayak, or on foot, and to stay within a 60-mile radius of your home. For a year. That's what Kurt Holting did. He calls it a quest for a radically local life, and he writes about it in a new book called The Circumference of Home. Holting is a commercial fisherman and wilderness guide in the Pacific Northwest, and for years he thought of himself as a pretty green kind of guy. Until he took one of those online carbon footprint surveys.
That was a shock to me. My hunch was that I probably was, you know, doing pretty well in that regard. So when I discovered that my carbon footprint was actually 2.5 times the national average and looked into why, it was immediately clear that the biggest piece by far for me was jet travel, which I was doing more and more of in my work at the time. And realizing that that one factor was more than nullifying all of my other efforts combined. And that's when I started thinking, you know, what's wrong with this picture?
But, you know, your reaction to it was, I mean, you'd have to say it was extreme. You could have simply decided that you were not going to fly anymore, for instance. But instead,
right.
You decided, what, that for a year you would travel no more than within a 60-mile radius.
Yeah, yeah. And what happened there, this was something that I stumbled on, actually, just over breakfast with a friend one morning when I was really wrestling with what I might do. I found myself just musing to my friend, what would it be like if I didn't get in a car for a whole year? And what would it be like if I stayed within walking distance of home? And I think at that point, I was also responding to the fact that a big part of my motivation was, you know, I'm not going to make these changes unless I can figure out a way to have them be fun, unless I can somehow turn the challenge, this great challenge that's before all of us, turn it into an adventure. And that's nice to say that in theory, but that's actually what happened, you know, cutting back on my use of the car and cutting back on the amount of travel and doing something really more dramatic.
Well, that's what's really interesting about it. You created what you call your home circle, and it is a 60-mile radius, right? But where you live on Whidbey Island in Puget Sound, 60 miles gives you quite a variety.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, if you calculate the area of a circle 60 miles in radius, it comes to about 12,000 square miles. And when I thought about it like that, I thought, how could anyone feel confined inside of 12,000 square miles? And as it happens, where I live, there's a lot here.
And an opportunity for you to discover things about the square footage around you that you wouldn't have known otherwise. You know, I should tell you, I love walking. I always have. And a few years ago, I went back to the place where I grew up. I hadn't been there in years and years and years. And I didn't recognize anything until I got out of the car and started walking through the neighborhood. And all of a sudden, It began to look familiar again. And I thought about that as you set out on foot from your house to the ferry on Whidbey Island that first morning. What was it, just after winter solstice a couple of years ago?
Right. Yeah. And very quickly, I learned that it was a much bigger distance and a lot more complicated than I imagined. Taking a walk, the first adventure that I planned for myself was a long 130-mile walking circuit of the Skagit Basin and then back down Whidbey Island, thinking that it would be, you know, like another long hike one might take in a wilderness area. Just, it wasn't like that because there are cars everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's not designed for being on foot. It's really designed so completely around the convenience of cars and the needs of cars that to really walk through it can be a bit of an eye-opener. And at the same time, like you were just saying, when you get on foot, you start to see things. You start to see the nooks and crannies of wildness, the places of real beauty and interest that are hidden that you just don't see when you're whizzing by in a car.
You started out at the winter solstice. I wonder if you would read a little bit. There was a thing in my copy. It's on page 42. It's when you got to Kayak Point.
Okay. By the time I reach Kayak Point, the sun has exploded above the forest. The Olympic Mountains swell in the distance behind Kameno Island. I dropped down a steep, winding road to the beach, still heavily frosted in the shade of the forest. A few western grebes and barrows' golden eyes are feeding in the shallows, diving into the mirrored reflection of mountains that travel with them down into the stillness of the water. I study the weariness in my body with a similar fascination, almost like meeting an old friend again. The stiff muscles that are the cost of coming here also make the day feel more vibrant and alive. I peel an orange and enjoy a breakfast of bread and cheese while the sun reels itself higher into the sky. A pilgrimage like this one does its job by leavening my abstract questions with the fierce beauty of the moment. It returns a measure of balance to the world by helping to pry the senses open.
It's a marvelous moment, and it's something that you could not have experienced any other way, I suspect.
That's right. And having walked at that point about 30, 35 miles, so that I had arrived in a place that, you know, under my own power from home, that made it seem both, you know, really exotic and distant. And at the same time, I could almost look across the water and see my home from that point. The act of coming on foot changed everything. It really opened my eyes to a lot of what I had been missing.
I want to talk a little bit about some of the lessons you learned, some of them offered to you. There was a man you call Marvin. You said that's not his real name. But he gave you some very specific advice about how to survive at what you were doing.
Yes, that was one of the great moments of the whole year. He's a friend of mine in the Swinomish Indian Nation, a Salish tribe, and I walked through two Indian reservations, the Tulalip and the Swinomish, on that long walk that I took the first January. I'm tempted to read a bit of that.
That would be nice.
Yeah. As I tell Marvin more about the purpose of my explorations, his eyes brighten and he gives an enthusiastic nod. "This is a good thing I am doing," he says. "All of us were indigenous once. It's not just the tribes who have a stake in the land. The whole culture is out of balance. What I'm doing this year will not be easy," he says, "and I will feel discouraged at times." He tells me to leave the road when I feel burdened and to walk through the underbrush of forest. Let the sticks and branches sweep against my body to pull off the heaviness. Cedar boughs are especially good for this, he says. "And when I cross a stream, I should stop to wash my hands in the water and splash a little on my face to show the waters that I have remembered to be grateful."
You know, there's a lot of talk in the world these days, in the circles that you and I are in anyway, about slowing down, slow food, slow money. Did you think about that, living slowly, as part of what you were doing in living locally?
Yeah, I was certainly aware. I mean, I've heard of slow food, slow travel, staycations, and in many ways, I was conducting an experiment in that kind of local living. But for me, it really was not so much chasing after a cultural fad as trying to reestablish contact in just the most basic kinds of ways with the place that I live and the community I live in, the neighborhood I live in, as a much more integral source of belonging that I, you know, that I identify as one of the best things anyone can do, you know, to help solve climate change.
Kurt Holting is the author of The Circumference of Home, one man's year-long quest for a radically local life.